Thank you for calling American Express, a credit card company dedicated to anti-capitalism and anti-racism. How may I help you?
Hey, thank you so much. I was just at the grocery store at Ralph's, and I was trying to buy 30 cantaloupes. And when I went to buy my cantaloupes, my card got declined. You know anything about that?
Interesting purchaser. I can look right into that. What is your first and last name?
Will Ekpenobi.
Okay, Mr. Will Ekpenobi. Let me look into... Ekpenobi. I'm putting that in right as we speak. It seems like your account has overdrafted. There has been an extraneous fee of about $300 taken out of your account.
$300?
Yes.
For why?
Let me look into that, sir. It seems as though the $300 was taken as part of a reparations program. It's going to go to an underprivileged black family.
I didn't agree to that.
Oh, but you did, sir. Are you not white, sir?
Yeah, I'm white, but what does that have to do with anything?
Oh, it's just, you know, the ancestral ties to slavery means that we need to take this $300 out for reparations.
I have a perfect credit score. I pay my bills on time. Why would this happen to me?
It happened to you not because of all of those extraneous things. It happened to you because you're white, sir.
This is gobbledygook.
Is there anything else you need from me, sir?
I want my money back. It's my money, and I want it now.
Unfortunately, you're not going to get that money back, sir. It's already going to that family, so.
I know a lot of black people.
Sure, okay. I don't get how that's relevant.
Please, give me my money back.
Sir, would you consider yourself an ally to the black community and an anti-racist?
I guess so.
Okay, and what status do you have to back that up? Have you worked in any social justice movements?
No.
Okay, sir.
I'm just not racist.
Let me go ahead and tell you that $300 is not going back into your account. Now, I can close out your credit card membership with American Express, but I can't do anything other than that.
No, give me my money.
I'm so sorry,
sir. Woman.
I'm going to have to hang up on you. I don't want to have to do it.
I want my cantaloupes.
Okay, I'm hanging up, sir.
Fine.
Okay, goodbye. And scene. Wow.
Might have been the best skit we've ever done.
I thought it was never going to end.
Who wanted it to end? Really?
Nobody wanted it to end. That's why we kept doing it.
You guys say hi to Instagram show. Hi, Instagram.
Hello, Instagram. We're live right now, and that little skit that we started out with is going to lead us into our first story. You know this guy by the name of Christopher Rufo. He's a man that we all know and we all love. He is an expert on CRT. He's currently working at the Manhattan Institute in New York. But here's a scoop that he put out. Let's read this tweet. Scoop. American Express Corporation has launched a critical race theory training program that teaches employees capitalism is fundamentally racist and asks them to deconstruct their racial and sexual identities, then rank themselves on a hierarchy of privilege. Here's the story. First impressions before I even get into what they're actually training. This is ridiculous for a credit card company, a very well-known credit card company here in America, to say that capitalism is fundamentally racist when their entire corporation runs on nothing but sheer capitalism. Is beyond me. So now what they're asking their employees to do is, again, state their racial identity, state their sexual identity, and then they need to tier themselves on a hierarchy of power. Of course, a white heterosexual male is going to have the most power, and anybody else underneath that is going to be low. So Will and Taylor, you guys are doing great.
Because we're low on power or high on power?
You're high on power.
I feel high on power. But that's just...
As you should. As you should.
I don't think that's power, Will.
That's not... That was from 20 minutes ago. No, I don't feel high on power because of my whiteness. I feel high on power because I'm a responsible American with my credit card and my expenses.
But
I feel like that should be much more important than racism.
What's much more important than that is being an ally to the black community.
I don't know about that, Omar.
That's what they're telling me. And they can't be wrong. It's American
Express. No, they
can't
be wrong. American Express, a credit card company, obviously knows better than the American people about these things. But it's more just woke pandering. I hate companies. Nothing grinds my gears, okay? Nothing grinds my gears more than woke companies coming out and saying how woke they are, how much they care about these types of things, about racism or climate change or whatever else other leftist cause that it might be, and then going around their executives, totally slamming the doors in people's faces and not even living up to the standards that they profess. They do things behind closed doors that are totally anti-leftist or totally anti the things that they're pushing.
Oh, you could not be more right. Let's look at more from this story here. And they have actual screenshots because a whistleblower from American Express Corporation came out and shared this with Chris Rufo. Here's a quote here. In a racist society, it is not enough to be non-racist. We must be anti-racist. Of course, that's a quote from Angela Davis. But this is what they are purporting in their little guidebook for their employees. This is what you have to put yourself through. And of course, right next to that, on the left side here, we have this very large quote from Professor Ibram X. Kendi.
Oh, my favorite.
Everybody's favorite. I'm not even going to subject you to reading that entire thing. But what this ultimately asks their employees to do, and especially their white employees, is to decide where you are in this movement for social justice. Are you an ally? Are you in the marginalized group? Do you have any sort of privilege? And then you guys get to rank yourselves. Now, what happens after you rank yourself? I have no idea.
But the term anti-racist is one of the stupidest things there is, because being anti-racist is obviously inherently itself a good thing. But the term anti-racist has just been totally hijacked to mean anti-conservative or anti someone with a different point of view. And this is how the left works. They take things that sound really good, things that would make you want to fight for it, anti-racist, mm-hmm. affirmative action, climate change, things that sound really good, but then they turn them into evil things that actually make America a more racist place or make America a worse place in general, right? We talk about this all the time, that like America is not this racist country that the left says it is, but it's funny because the things that the left talks about not being racist, they are then turning racist. They are making it racist because they put everything in terms of race. The story yesterday that we covered about an Atlanta school segregating children by black and white, it is supposedly anti-racism, but really it's just racism. It's totally flipped it on its head.
But black people need their own space, Will.
Listen, I'm sure you need your own space, okay, to do whatever it is that you do.
Nobody's saying you don't need your own space.
But right? I need my own space, too.
Right. Oh,
but
okay.
But not away from black people.
Okay.
Just away from everybody.
Gotcha. So you're not advocating for, like, BET and then WET and...
No, there's no point. There's no point to have a white entertainment television or black entertainment television.
Agreed.
Just have television.
Right.
You know?
Right.
When you divide it by race, then it's like, are white people not allowed to watch BET? What is the deal there? Like, it doesn't matter. Who cares?
We're entering a new era of segregation, and I bet everybody's just super excited to get into this. Now, I'm going to go back to this little guidebook here that they put their employees through. Here's what you can do, ladies and gentlemen at home, if you want to think about how you can start working as a leftist in your day-to-day life, how you can start being an anti-racist. Let's look at this little chart here. So when we're talking about issues that affect marginalized people, whether that's black people, trans people, people with an identity that is not heterosexual, anybody who's outside of a white, cisgender, heterosexual male, here's what you can do, Will, if you want to talk about these issues.
Okay.
First, look around the room and see, is the impacted person or group present?
Yes.
I'm present. Okay. Uh-huh. So if yes, are they speaking up?
You are speaking right now, yes.
Okay. Since your answer is yes, what you need to do now is not speak, but amplify my message.
I could like put my hands around your mouth to make it
just
so...
Just cup hand me like this?
Cup hand you, yeah, so it like gets out louder. I don't know what does amplify mean?
You're supposed to raise my voice. You're supposed to reiterate what I'm saying.
Can
and
your
make
microphone
sure...
reach her microphone area? So, you know, she
yeah, just
get
give me your
microphones.
Mic. Yeah, just give me... There we go,
this
ladies,
is progress, ladies and gentlemen.
Gentlemen.
Good job, Will.
This is amplification.
This is just like white people standing around black people talking and just going like, yes, queen, yes, slay.
Do you guys remember in the riots last year and they had like that like religious ceremony in downtown Los Angeles and there were like the white people were kissing the black people's feet?
I do. I saw videos of that. That is amazing to me. Amazing that happened.
No self-respect.
Right. Apparently that's called being an ally.
That's what progress looks like, according to these people.
Yeah. And it's a reminder to hone in on these issues, especially if you're a white person listening right now. They don't like you either way. If you don't support them, they don't like you. If you do support them, you're an ally, but we're not going to pat you on the back for it. And you're not doing anything. It's amazing to them that you've sort of succumbed the oppression of your race to advocate for black people.
If you're a white person and you go and kiss black people's feet, that doesn't make them like you more.
No.
That makes them like hate you more.
It's like the teacher that's too nice and none of the kids respect them. You know, it's like right. We need a society where people have mutual respect. And this whole CRT nonsense creates an environment in which people aren't their authentic selves. They don't engage each other honestly. And you end up with it devalues the actual achievements of Black people, because with all these affirmative action things and quote diversity quotas and whatnot, you actually any logical person questions whether how did you achieve what you achieve, and you shouldn't have to question that. But that's what this creates. And then on the flip side, it's now the white people pandering. It's like you question their motives too. Everyone's being inauthentic, and it just it destroys real relationships and real actual progress where none of this stuff matters.
I want to get into one more slide of this guidebook. This is on microaggressions. Here's what you can no longer say to a person of color or a person of any sort of marginalized group. Number one, where are you from? You can't ask them that because it can imply that you're saying your racial / ethnic ambiguity confuses me. You are not American. You are foreign. That's what that statement implies.
I'm not allowed to ask you where you're from?
No, you're not allowed to ask anybody where they're from.
That's like so much fun when you meet someone.
Yeah, I know. Isn't it nice to just know where somebody's from and just get background on that? I ask other people where they're from. People ask me where I'm from.
Yeah.
Now it's not allowed.
Well, I'm not allowed to ask you. I think you can ask me and Will.
Yeah, you can ask us because we're white.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
You already have privilege, so it's okay. Uh-huh. The next one you can't say.
I'm from Colorado.
Thank you for answering that, despite me not asking.
You don't have to ask.
Next one. You are so articulate. You can't say that because it will imply it is unusual for somebody of your race to be intelligent.
Okay, I got to think of that. We got a comment on the live stream one time of Amala, and it was like, Black, female, and intelligent? I can't believe it, or something like that.
Yeah, I can't
like,
believe those three words.
I think they genuinely meant it as a compliment, but it was like kind of very backhanded, like, yeah. No expectations.
I can't believe those three words appear in the same sentence. We were cracking up reading that.
Which is what you should do, by the way. You weren't all offended about it. We just laughed because it's an absurd thing to say.
Yeah, it was hilarious. I was crying laughing at that comment.
I'm surprised you didn't like post about how the victimhood and how there's systemic racism, and that's what this post is evidence of. That's what the leftist would do.
Right. I should have started crying and saying I was the victim of a blatantly racist attack purely because of my skin color. That's what I should have done.
Facebook should censor this guy. We should dox him, after him. Like, ugh. Anyway, sorry, continue.
A few more things you can't say, and I'll just go through these really quickly. You can't say, I don't see color, or we are all human beings. If you say that, that's a denial of a person's racial / ethnic experiences, including barriers faced because of their race and ethnicity.
Okay, so you can't ask them where they're from because they shouldn't have to say their ethnic stuff.
Right.
But then you can't say you don't see color because then they don't get to express their ethnic stuff.
Right, right. So you can't ask them to express it, and you can't say don't express it or that I don't see it.
Right. But you can't say that we're all human beings.
No, you can't say that.
No. That implies that people of other races aren't human beings, according to this.
Yes. You can't say we're all human beings.
No.
Which, again, I talked about this on yesterday's stream. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. There is a massive effort to dehumanize white people in this country. Moving on. Another one you can't say is, I'm not a racist, I have Black friends. That can imply immunity to racism and unconscious bias, which everybody has. Everybody has unconscious bias. Mm-hmm. The next one you can't say is,
everybody has unconscious bias.
Uh-huh.
Then there's nothing we can do about it.
No, there's nothing we can do about it. But they don't mean everyone. They mean white people have unconscious bias.
But it's so easy for people like American Express and huge corporations to put out these HR things and say something like unconscious bias. That can't be proven. That can't be tested in the real world. That's just something that they can make up and say, oh, it's out there and think about it. To score woke virtue points. To score and have people think that they're doing something good. But when you're saying that something is happening and it's not real to make people, you know, think that you're doing the right thing, You're not actually doing anything. And they know they're not doing anything. American Express knows it's not doing anything helpful by doing this. There's no doubt in my mind that they think like, oh, we're really helping Black people this time. It's probably some corporate person who's like, all right, everyone else is doing this. I guess we got to do some woke sensitivity training too.
Right.
You know?
To just keep in date. And, you know, a lot of these companies are all linked together. Who even knows who's the true proprietor of doing this at American Express when all these corporations are linked. But this is atrocious. One more here. You cannot say everybody can succeed in this society if they work hard enough. That can imply a belief in the myth of meritocracy or...
The myth?
The myth of meritocracy in this country, or that people of color are given extra unfair benefits because of their race, are lazy, incompetent, and need to work harder.
Wait, you can't say that Black people are lazy?
What? It implies that you think that Black people are lazy and incompetent if you say that anybody can succeed in this country if they work hard enough. Amazing.
No. So, but if you say only white people can succeed.
Right. Then you'd be right because you have all the privilege in the world to succeed. Uh-huh, you have all the avenues set in front of you.
So that's fine.
Right. That's fine.
Okay.
All of this is fine in regard to white people. I should have prefaced that. I don't know if you guys were confused about that, but all of this is fine when it comes to white people. You just can't say that to me. So.
I would never dare.
I wouldn't dare.
I wouldn't even think about
say
it.
A microaggression towards
no,
you.
No, just a full aggression.
Thanks. Thanks, Will. It's either full or none at all.
Yes, exactly. 100%. Guys, we're going to probably end the Instagram live stream, but keep going here on YouTube and Facebook because we're about to play this interview that we're doing.
Yes.
But every single weekday at 2:30 p.m. PST, that's 5:30 p.m. Eastern, Amal and I are live with Will and Amal Live, okay? It's not just some dinky little live stream. This is a show, and it's a show that you don't want to miss because it's the best show on internet television right now, okay?
Very true.
Forbes, New York Times, BBC, all of them, they're raving about it.
Haven't heard a single lie.
No, they're just raving about it. So make sure that you check us out every single weekday, 2:30 p.m. PST, 5:30 p.m. Eastern on PragerU YouTube and Facebook.
Bye, guys. Go check it out.
We're still on here. Peace. We're still on here on YouTube, okay?
Join us on YouTube from Instagram. Yeah.
Huh? We're still here, guys. And we're going to get into an interview that we did with one of our beautiful Prager Force members by the name of Cam Higby. He is a pretty well-known conservative influencer on the internet. We'll go ahead and talk to Cam and respond to some crazy leftist TikToks.
Yes.
Here we go. Okay, everybody, on today's program, we wanted to do a segment where we go over some crazy leftist TikToks on the internet, and we had to bring a guest on for this. So today joining us is going to be Cam Higby, a very, very well-known conservative commentator on both TikTok and on Instagram. He's also a member of PragerForce. Thank you so much, Cam, for coming on.
No problem.
TikTok king over here.
In a perpetual battle with TikTok as well, with censorship, but we'll get into that later.
All right, we're going to start with this TikTok, with this lovely young person, and review what she has to say. I'm sure it's some very valuable insight.
I'm very sexual. I'm attracted until there's a connection. Once it's gone, I'm in a state of perplexion. Part of the asexual spectrum. I'm not flexing. I'm very sexual.
Wow.
Okay.
Cam, what's your initial reaction to this one?
Well, it reminds me of demisexual. I guess kind of a new thing, only attracted to people who you have an emotional connection with, and that kind of just makes me think, oh, so you're just like most human beings, right? So what was it again?
This girl is attracted to people until there's an emotional connection. So
right.
She's basically like every 21-year-old fraternity brother,
yeah.
And that's what she's going for apparently.
Okay, so she doesn't plan to have like a family at all, or like, I mean, I guess you could have a family without being with somebody with an emotional connection, in terms of like children, but this seems kind of bizarre to me.
Yeah, I don't get it. There are plenty of people, mainly guys, but plenty of guys and girls who are like this. If you develop an emotional connection to them, they cut you off. I don't know why we're now assigning terms to things that are completely normal.
Yeah, it's just called being a douchebag.
Yeah.
You're just being a douchebag, and now you have some like sexual term about it. How does that make any sense?
It's amazing.
It is amazing. But this just shows how backward the world is, that people are so narcissistic that instead of just saying, I'm a douche, I'm a horrible person for treating people this way, it's just like, I'm going to give myself a moniker of some sexualization or something to justify my narcissism and vanity.
Yeah, it doesn't seem really like a sexuality actually at all either. I don't understand like the need to thrust a sexual preference on or label on literally everything, right? I don't think that every single little preference needs necessarily to have a label. You could just, you know, say these are my preferences, but I don't think that preference really makes sense in the first place.
Well, that's why you're a bigot, Cam, because obviously you don't know. This one is another one from Libs of TikTok.
I'm
just
scared.
From the thumbnail, we can see he's a cat. He's got a cat, so that should tell you enough right there.
Should it?
There you go. Yes.
Wait,
it should.
What?
Yes.
What does that tell you off
Men
the bat?
Men should have dogs, all right? If you're a man living alone, you shouldn't have a cat.
Cam, do you concur?
I like dogs. I like cats, too. I think dogs are better, for sure.
Wow.
I think
dogs are better. Dogs are better. He agrees. Okay, let's watch this video.
Let's watch.
And you'll see that I'm exactly right, because this is what happens.
You may have heard the term preferred pronouns, but pronouns are not preferred. They're mandatory. Pronouns are one of many ways that we can validate and respect other people. When someone tells you their pronoun, the only option is to use it. If you don't know someone's pronouns, ask them, use gender-neutral language, or no pronouns at all. My pronouns are they, them, theirs. If you don't know how to use them, look it up, practice, use an app, ask a friend. It is not the job of the trans and gender nonconforming folks in your life to teach you.
Well, Cam, now they're not preferred pronouns. Now they are mandatory pronouns. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, first of all, like he said that you have to ask. I guarantee you that person, every time he participates in a dialogue with a person, he doesn't ask them, what are your pronouns, right? That's just like not how like a normal cohesive conversation flows. If you want somebody to call you something, you have to first ask them, and then that person still isn't obligated to call you what you've asked them to call you.
Right, and that's where I've always fallen on the whole pronoun argument. I guess if somebody was right in front of me and they say, you know, I want to be called these pronouns or I want to be called this name, sure, out of a sign of respect for that person, I would do it. But the fact that they feel like they get to compel your speech and make it mandatory for you to not only ask somebody what their pronouns are, but then call them that from then on, is just ridiculous.
It's again with the smugness that we see from all of these people on leftist TikToks, that they are these virtuous, all-knowing people, and they get to come down from their high horses and come to us people who don't understand it, and they're going to explain it to us, they're going to teach it to us, because we're too ignorant to know any of these things, when in reality this is something that is made up, this fry sexual from the last one, mm-hmm. and mandatory pronouns from these other people. I mean, these are things that they are saying, but apparently we are stupid and that they have to come down with their graces and teach us. The vanity and the narcissism is just unreal.
Yeah, like you said, the smugness, it's like they feel as though they have a right not to be offended, right? In that they have, but you can't have rights that obligate another person to do something. You can have rights that, I don't know, it just doesn't make sense. You can't have a human right that obligates another person to do something.
Exactly. It's infringing on people's own on their own freedom, on their own liberty. And you're telling them what they can and cannot say. I have one more TikTok to go over with you, Cam. Let's pull it up and see if it gets any crazier than what we've already watched.
White supremacy is American history. White supremacy is America. For those of you still saying this is not the America I know, America is better than this, it's really not. This is how America has always been. America has never been a safe place for Black people. It has never been a safe place for Native or Indigenous people. It has never been a safe place for Asian people. It has never been a safe place for Latino people, for Mexican people. It's never been a safe place for people from the Middle East, people who are Muslim, people who want to practice a different religion outside of Christianity. It's not a safe place for women, for children, for LGBTQ+ people, for disabled people. It's not a safe place for people who fight in our wars, for veterans. White supremacy is American history. And you're perpetuating this myth that of American exceptionalism and America being a shining beacon of democracy when you say America is better than this. And that's okay, because American capitalists and the education system and Texas McGraw-Hill will feed you that myth, will feed you that lie. And that's why I'm here, to help all of you unlearn American history.
Whew!
I feel unlearned.
I feel just ashamed. Listening to that, I'm not going to lie.
She classified Latinos and Mexicans as two different groups.
That's
if
funny.
You caught that.
Yes, I did hear that.
Which I don't understand.
We'll get back to that, I guess.
What do you think, Cam? What does that make you feel?
Well, if America isn't a safe haven for those people, and if it's not good here for those people, then why do they consistently keep coming here? legally and illegally, right? But she said at the end that she wants to help people unlearn American history. Well, obviously she wants to help people unlearn it and change, and she wants to change it to something else and teach them something that's obviously not true.
Yeah, I love how she tries to lump in veterans and soldiers into her argument as if they are not the ones going out and fighting for all those different people to have a free pursuit of happiness in this country. Amazing how leftists do that, and they'll make these broad arguments about how white supremacy is really the foundation of this nation, and then they go, but I really love America. I'm the one who truly loves America and its veterans and the people who live here, when clearly you don't.
America is the most migrated country in the entire world, by far.
Right.
Most amount of people are coming to America. It's not even close. To say that all of these people from all over the world for centuries have come to this country because of white supremacy is just absolutely insane. You got Africans from Africa coming to America by the thousands because of white supremacy? No, they come because of opportunity.
Right.
You didn't see Jews in the 1930s moving to Germany, or in the 1940s moving to Germany,
right,
which was a real supremacist place, right? It's like if this was a really white supremacist country, you wouldn't have people from all over the world, all different backgrounds, literally all of those people that she just listed off, moving to America by the thousands, risking their lives to be here.
And those people, a large percentage of those people are extremely, extremely successful in this country after they migrate here. If America was just a cesspool of white supremacy and oppression, nobody would want to come here, and that's not the case.
Yeah, it's like my father, a black man, it's like anybody seeing him, a police officer, these white supremacist institutions are going to see him as a black man, yet he came here from Africa to live in America and has built a successful life in doing so. It just makes no sense to me that people make these arguments and then talk about how horrible we are to people of color when clearly that's not the case. But that is what TikTok is today.
Yeah, TikTok is a cesspool of garbage.
And Cam and I...
I have to walk in every single day to this office and see Amala just scrolling. Scrolling TikTok, watching garbage
content. It's what I do. But that's how I came to know you, Cam. I'm pretty sure that's how you came to know me, is that you were one of the most prominent conservatives on TikTok, over 1 million followers, and you went through a whole censorship battle with them. Where are you at with that right now?
Still banned. This is the longest that I've gone being banned. I think it's been a little over a month now. At one point this last, what actually happened was I called somebody out on TikTok, a leftist, and then not long after, his people came and mass reported me. TikTok went and changed my username to a bunch of random characters, so it wasn't my name anymore, and then permanently banned me. So people, like, I'll still be in their following or whatever, but they don't know it's me, because it's not my name. It's just random letters. So people are probably mass unfollowing me. I don't know, because I haven't been able to get into it.
That is horrible.
Yeah, but that's what you expect.
I mean, I've gone through it too. Not at anywhere near the scale that you've gone through it. I think you've been banned and suspended over 100 times. For me, it's only happened a few times now. But you're a member of PragerForce now through the whole banning that you've been going through with TikTok. What is it like being a member of PragerForce?
Well, it's awesome. It's kind of, it's very like disheartening when this happens, these bans over and over again. But I think that like being a part of PragerForce and making content for the PragerForce account and the PragerU account is like giving me a new like kind of incentive to keep going. And I'll say too that throughout this whole like battle with TikTok and censorship and stuff on TikTok and Instagram, nobody has really like wanted to, you know, help me at all or bring exposure to it until I started getting involved with PragerU and PragerForce.
Yeah, I mean, we're glad to help you. I'm sure all the people who are watching this right now are going to want to know where to find you. So where can they go and support you and follow you?
What is it now? It's at Cam Higby on Instagram, I believe. And I'm using at Real Cam Higby on TikTok, I think. But it constantly changed because all my name now, they thought it would be funny to when my name was kind of up in the air because I didn't know it had been changed by TikTok. Everybody took my, so one person took my at Cam Higby name, and then everybody else did like Cam Higby official and like all this. So there's not many options anymore.
Gosh.
It's horrible.
You're just getting bombarded.
I know. The person who took Will Witt 4 years ago, which made me become the Will Witt, I'm going to find you, okay? It's horrible. Thanks so much for coming on, Cam. We really appreciate it. You know, it's great to have PragerForce members on here. If you're a student, young professional across the world, you can join PragerForce by going to PragerForce.com, be on one of our lives, get involved with tons of people all across the world, post content with PragerU. It's a wonderful thing. PragerForce.com or text the word PragerForce to 64600. Thanks so much for coming on, Cam.
No problem.
Okay. Yeah, that's Cam Higby. Very cool guy. Again, go follow him on Instagram. He's at Cam Higby. He's got a lot of great stuff to say. You'll also see him time and every now and then on the PragerU.
Time and time again.
I was going to say time and time again. I'm trying so hard not to say time and time again and of which.
You're doing better. You caught yourself.
Thank
it was
you.
A little too
I
late.
Did. It was a little too late. But you'll see Cam on our main page on PragerU. And, you know, PragerForce is a big part of what we do at PragerU, but there's so much more that we do. We create so many different content lines. We are getting people connected. We are putting out 5-minute videos every single week for you to learn about a new subject matter. But in order to do that, we need your guys' help. And this month is PragerU's fundraising month. I'm going to show you our Facebook page here. We have a goal of raising $10,000 for our August PragerU Fundraising Month. If you guys could help us out, go to this donate page. I believe we'll put the link down in the chat. Taylor's on it. And you guys can go and give us whatever you can. It doesn't have to be a large donation. It doesn't have to be a recurring donation. But your funding and your support is what keeps us here. It's what keeps us doing these lives every single day. It's what keeps our five-minute videos, our book club, Prager Force running, everything that we do here at this organization.
Mm-hmm. Keeping my facial hair great.
I was going to say, it also funds a razor for Will Witt to remove that thing off of his face.
No, actually, Whoa. Don't give any money. Don't give any money.
Don't give any money.
Yeah, we don't want any more razors.
I was going to say, Will, if we reach that 10K, are you gonna shave it or what?
No, I said if we sell 10,000 of my books before the book comes out, then I will shave it.
Where are you at right now?
Can't say. Can't tell you guys that.
Are you anywhere near it?
Can't say.
What?
Can't say. That's for you guys to know.
For the love of God, please buy the book.
For the love of God.
We're begging
please.
You.
Please.
Buy the book.
Buy the book. How to Win Friends and Influence Enemies. Go to Amazon.com or any other major bookseller, and you can pre-order it now. And I'm actually recording my audiobook now, too. So on September 21st, when the book comes out, you guys can buy an audiobook as well, which is also very cool.
Very cool. We're going to get into a super chat here from Oddlag. Quit my old corporate job because they were forcing the vax. Got a new job with a company that's not impeding on my freedom. Appreciate you all for what you do. P.S. Will, the stash is flip-flops are not.
The stash is fire.
Flip-flops are not fire.
Oh, okay. Well, no, I'm not. I'm wearing flip-flops now, but then I decided I'm not going to show my feet on stream because some of you guys are some creeps.
Yeah, so some people's going to screenshot
exactly.
that. Some person will do it.
Not putting my feet out there for you guys, okay?
Neither am I.
But thank you for saying my mustache is fire.
Not for free, at least.
Not for free.
Not for free.
This is
buy my book,
Prager,
maybe?
Buy my book. Who knows what could happen?
Oh, God.
Okay. That sounds horrible, but we're going to move on. Will, this is actually your segment. We're going into Throwback
going to
Thursday.
Mine?
We
right.
are.
Give me the computer, please.
Here you are.
All right.
Oh, he's ready.
All right, guys. If you guys haven't seen this segment before, we're supposed to do it every week, but I think we're at now every 2 weeks since Amla did the Batman.
Yeah.
You guys remember the Batman? The Batman was a principal who totally transformed a school. He was an awesome guy. And this segment, Throwback Thursday, we go around, Amla, me, and Taylor, and we pick a person or an event, and we kind of go over it and why it's important. And it's a fun segment, and we're enjoying doing it so far. And my person, who I chose, if you want to load it up on the screen, is Frederick Douglass.
Woo, woo, woo.
Frederick Douglass, okay? I know a lot of you guys probably know Frederick Douglass. He's a pretty popular guy, but I wanted to bring up two important things about Frederick Douglass. I first wanted to read this quote, okay? I have found that to make a contented slave, it is necessary to make a thoughtless one. He must be able to detect no inconsistencies in slavery. He must be made to feel that slavery is right, and he can be brought to that only when he ceases to be a man. And I just read that about a week ago when I was doing some research on some other stuff, and I read this quote, and it really spoke to me for two reasons. First one, about Frederick Douglass, that I think is really important for a lot of people watching. You might not be a black former slave. I'm guessing you're not. But Frederick Douglass was someone who was in the North, and he was this intellectual, very well-spoken writer and reader and talker, speaker, all of this. And many people who were in the North at that time, there were still pretty fair amount of racism at that time, even with the North trying to get rid of slavery. And Frederick Douglass basically defied all of their expectations and said, despite from this upbringing that I had, despite being a slave, despite being black at the time, like, I did something that was so amazing that people look at and say, this guy is incredibly smart, educated, and who can push a message out there. So I bring that part up to say, the whole leftist victim mentality, their culture of saying that because you had bad circumstances, you can't make it. Or people even on the left who talk about like the pro-choice argument saying that you might have bad circumstances, so having an abortion is fine. All of these different leftist things, it's all BS, okay? Because despite people's expectations, despite the things and the setbacks that you have all the opportunity to do something right in your life. And people who say, oh, I can't make it, I can't do all of this because of the bad cards I've been dealt, you're lazy people, okay? There is so much that you can do with your life. Instead of spending that time wasting it at home, sitting there on social media or on Netflix all day, you can be reading and bettering your life, or working on a skill so that you're better at your job, or trying to talk to people in real life. You know, all sorts of different things that you can be doing to be someone who is a success, like Frederick Douglass, an amazing role model for people in America, and basically showing that the victim culture mentality, it's not there. You can be whatever you want. And the second part is, what is a slave? And I wanted to bring this up specifically with this quote again, that again in the beginning, I found that to make a contented slave, it is necessary to make a thoughtless one. And this is people that I see nowadays that I have just been struggling with, because you hear people all the time who are talking about thinking that they are free in so many ways, when in reality, you are shackled by so many different things. And that's a tough way to look at the world, that there are a lot of, you know, people think that they can do whatever they want. People think that the world is just totally open to them. I know this kind of goes in what I was talking about with the victim culture before, but hear me out. Is that people don't know that they are being controlled by something. And that's a sad thing. Versus saying that you have a victim mentality, versus saying that you can't make it, versus people saying they are oblivious to the world around them. And so they are happy in their slavery, essentially. And we have this with people in America today. People don't know what's actually going on. People don't have all the information. People don't know who's actually on top pulling strings. People don't know who the elites are. People don't know the plans that are happening in the world. And so they feel like they're happy. They feel like, because they have social media and Netflix and fast food and all these different things, that they are a content slave. But in reality, your mind and your life are slipping away from you. And this is what Frederick Douglass talks about, is to think about the world around you and to think about things that are happening to you and say, am I really being controlled, or how can I get out of this situation to make sure that I am not a slave to anyone or to any institution, and that the only person who controls my destiny is myself? It's a really important thing to think about.
Amazing presentation, Will.
Wow, thank you. Teacher, what did I get? Oh,
you got an A+. That was pretty strong. A+.
I never got an A+ in college, so this is really exciting.
No, I imagine, only got Fs. I imagine what Frederick Douglass would think right now if he was looking at the race relations in America.
Oh, he'd be disgusted by it.
I think he would be too. And it that quote is a really, really great quote, because he talks about the thoughtlessness and how that is what makes a contented slave. And we put so little thought to the fact that we are segregating everybody by race. We are entering the time period that Frederick Douglass came with these ideas. We are re-entering that time period, yet we are doing it with such thoughtlessness that people are content in doing so.
It's mental slavery.
Yep.
Exactly. Yeah. It's mental slavery. And people don't realize it. They think that they're free in some ways.
I was thinking of Brave New World.
Exactly. No, exactly. Yeah. That's when I was reading about this quote, is when I was reading some stuff on Brave New World, and it came up at the same time. And it was like, you know, the person who thinks that they're free, like taking soma every day and having promiscuous relationships and all of these other things that happen in the Brave New World, they think that, you know, they're free. But in reality, they are controlled by something else. Don't be controlled by anything else except for your own ambition.
Amen. And if you want to learn more about Frederick Douglass, I just dropped the link to our 5-minute video on Frederick Douglass in the chat. So check that out.
And okay, we're gonna get into
texting during class, kids.
I was checking on the fact that our stream is buffering.
Is our stream buffering?
It is. Yeah, we're working on switching the source here, but bear with us through the stream if you're through the buffering if you can, guys.
Those are just my muscles.
Yeah,
buffering.
We're getting warning messages about the mustache. It's like, must go.
Mustache, must go.
Everything must go. Everything must go. We're going to get into our last little segment of the day. And this sort of plays into what we've been talking about all day long. And it is the presence of celebrity in this battle when it comes to social justice. And that there is an entire class, an upper class, an upper echelon of people who are making a significant amount of money contributing to this capitalist system, contributing to the SJW elitism that we have right now. And yet they continue to spout the same lies over and over and over again, even though They benefit from everything that they spout, and they will never feel the repercussions of the legislation that they advocate for, the policy that they advocate for, or the restructuring of our society that they advocate for. Now, this one is an older video. This is actually from about 4 or 5 months ago, but it's been circulating on Twitter today. It's called Conversations with Changemakers. And you may recognize the faces that are on my screen right now. Jamila Jamil.
All of our favorites.
all of our favorites. Jameela Jamil from The Good Place, if you've seen that show. Chelsea Handler with her Chelsea Handler show. And then Amy Schumer, the very famous female comedian.
Is the girl on top, is she married?
I don't know if she is.
I know the two below.
I could check. I don't know if she's married. But let's get into this video.
Unhappy unmarried women.
Are they? Amy Schumer's married, right?
Is she?
I think she's married because she has a kid. But maybe she's not married. Anyways, let's get into this video and see what they have to say about capitalism and being a woman in America.
However much we may all hate capitalism and however much we may acknowledge the evils of capitalism that do exist, currently, money is freedom for women. And I know that that is the dirty and wrong and unsocialist and unmarxist thing to say, but being able to know that if I have an emergency, I don't have to rely on a man, and that I can make my own decisions, and that I, as a businesswoman, can hire other women and people of color and people from backgrounds that don't always get hired for jobs, gives me freedom, ultimately. However much we may...
So much to unpack there. It's, again, why expressing an anti-capitalist system while you are one of the direct and upper echelon of beneficiaries from this capitalist system blows my mind. As a woman and a woman of color who has been able to make herself exorbitantly successful within this system, and just to hear her talk about how hard it is to be a woman in America. We kind of talked about this yesterday. I don't think it's that hard to be a woman in America. In fact, I think it's easier to be a woman than it is to be a man. You don't really need money to be a free and secure woman in America, although I'm sure that helps. But in her, she goes on to say that as a business owner, she wants to hire people of color and females because they're not often being hired. Where is this happening? Can somebody pinpoint where black people, where brown people, where women are not being hired in America? Because I don't see it.
Well, she talked about anti-capitalist, mm-hmm. and then she described parts of capitalism and said that she agreed with it. But then she wanted to say that she was a socialist Marxist.
Right.
So she obviously doesn't understand either of them.
No, she doesn't.
Which is quite clear. I mean, I wouldn't ask a failed two failed women comedians for advice on economics. I don't know why they're having a conversation like that.
Because when it comes to with American celebrity, you also get a political platform. Did nobody tell you that?
No, I've heard that.
It actually comes in the package. Once you become an A-list celebrity or whatever list they're on, you also get a political platform tied to that where you can just espouse your political views so long as they are socialist, Marxist, and somehow leftist indoctrinated.
Listen, if their comedy or if their political takes are as good as their comedy, I want nothing to do with this. Amy Poehler is one of the most unfunny
people. Amy Schumer.
Oh, Amy Schumer. Oh, wait, who's Amy Poehler?
Amy Poehler is the one from Parks and Rec.
Oh, she's funny. But Amy Schumer is one of the least unfunny people on the planet. Or most unfunny. Most unfunny people on the planet.
I mean,
every joke is about her having sex and doing gross things and penises. It's like all she talks about.
But let's hear her political perspectives on being black in America.
Radical empathy is, you know, empathy is like about imagining yourself in someone else's shoes, but we can't even do that, you know? I can't imagine what it would be like to drive home and be pulled over if I were a black person, like in any situation, you know? Like
I can tell you what it would be like. It would be like this. Hello, officer. How may I help you?
You were driving above the speed limit.
Okay, officer. Do you need my license and registration?
What is that, weed in the car?
That is exactly what it wouldn't be like, Will. It would be the exact opposite.
Let me just throw the weed in. How'd that get there?
Sir, you're going too fast. It's not like that whatsoever. It's not like that whatsoever.
No, of course not.
I get pulled over. I give them my license and registration. They look at it and they go, everything seems to be in order. And most of the time they go, just don't drive that fast again. In fact, I've never gotten a ticket. I've been pulled over probably two or three times in my life. Never gotten a ticket. They're just like, oh, okay.
See, that's women privilege. Okay? I've been pulled over multiple times and I've gotten a ticket practically every single time. The last time I got pulled over, I was in a cutoff hoodie.
Uh-huh.
And I got pulled over for doing a California roll at a stop sign. And the guy pulls me over and, you know, I just look like the biggest tool.
Yeah.
But you're basically asking for it. Did you have the mustache too? Because you should get a ticket just for that.
He could have been like, officer, I'm one of you.
I'm one of you, officer, please.
Do you see the stash?
I'm a PI. It's fine.
I'm undercover right now, actually. Amala's up there. You should check her out.
But no, it's always been fine. And it's always been fine. There's never been a problem.
Right.
And there's no evidence to support that there is a problem with that. But these white leftists will tell you that there is, and they try to, she states this thing called radical empathy, which is a really big leftist buzzword of we're supposed to be just radically empathizing with everyone and everything. And if we hear a sad story that's a story of injustice, we need to do something about it. We need to give it a voice. We need to say their names.
Yeah, I mean, if it's real injustice, yeah. If it's something that really bad happens to someone, of course you want to shed light on it. But if it's fake injustice, you used to push a narrative, then no, I'm not going to.
Yeah, but say I think where the left deviates from that specific argument is that they attribute radical empathy to things that are not trends and not patterns, things that are not happening actively over and over within our society and within policing. So they go, oh, well, I heard that story about Tamir Rice. We need to reform the entire police department because radical empathy. I radically empathize with this guy who went through this situation. And they just use that as a blinder for them to make decisions and shape society.
Yeah, we went in and looked at the statistics last year because there was the narrative, the unarmed men being shot by police, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we went through and looked at the stats, and according to the FBI statistics,
mm-hmm.
it was 19 or something in the entire year of 2020.
14,
okay. Well, we went through and looked at each one of those stories and found the news stories and dug up, and like, I think it was either 18 or 19 out of all of them were involved. The perpetrator was in some way trying to resist or evade arrest. Right. When you talk about your experience getting pulled over, like it becomes different whenever you put the cop on alert by trying to get away or reaching for something inside your car. And
right.
we have a clip on PragerU that we shared of what happens when cops allow someone to reach inside a car and they pull out a gun and they shoot at the cops.
Mm-hmm.
And that's happened. That's the world that they live in. You guys did the scenario when we did the police ride along. Mm-hmm. You took the test and failed, even though you support the police and
right.
you know already. So it's not based in fact. They take these sensational stories and headlines and then jump to this radical empathy stuff before actually looking at the facts. And we owe it to ourselves to have our opinions rooted in truth. Otherwise, what are we even doing?
Right.
You're more likely to be shot as an unarmed person if you're white. There were almost double mm-hmm. the amount of unarmed whites who were killed in 2020 by police than there were black people killed by police. And if
yeah.
you're a black person, you are 18.5 times more likely to kill a police officer than for a police officer to kill a black man.
And that is not, it's not racist to state facts. Those are just statistical facts. There is a study out of Washington State University that showed that when police are confronted, whether the policeman is white, black, Hispanic, Asian, doesn't matter. When they're confronted with a white suspect and a black suspect, they are much faster to shoot the white suspect, and they make far more mistakes in shooting white suspects than they do with black suspects. So the argument is simply not there. Yet we use this radical empathy to push forth a narrative that is completely false. And notice how we don't use radical empathy when it comes to police officers. We don't use radical empathy when it comes to Border Patrol. We don't use radical empathy when it comes to anybody who has a difference in opinion or who is enforcing a job or enforcing a law that you don't like. Let's keep listening.
I can do my best to imagine what it's like for that person. And I one of my aha moments, I would say, was when I was arrested one of the times. I went to oppose Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation for the Supreme Court. And, you know, and I was like, okay, I can go down and to DC and use my, you know, civil disobedience and get, you know, use my voice and whatever. And I really didn't have any, I was pregnant. I didn't really have any concerns because of my privilege. It's not the same for me to go, I'm going to go get arrested today, as it would be for someone who, you know, has different melanin in their skin.
First of all, when in your life would you be like, I'm going to go get arrested today? And should that be an equitable experience for everybody in America? No, it shouldn't, because it should not be an experience that you're having. And then she states that, oh, it was completely fine. I didn't have any worries because of my privilege. No, you didn't have any worries because police officers do not shoot people who are not actively threatening them or actively trying to take their life or evade arrest with a weapon.
Listen,
that's exactly why.
You're not going to get arrested for going out and protesting something that you disagree with. The only thing she should be arrested for is for having comedy that unfunny. She should go to jail for that.
Always back to the comedy jokes. It is bad.
It is bad, and it ruins what comedy is about. When you have someone like Amy Schumer come and give comedy that's not funny at all, and then get a huge platform in horrible movies that are just all about disgusting all sorts of nasty stuff.
Yeah, it's like I go to comedy shows. I go to comedy shows now, and they're all like, black people, aren't we so oppressed? And white people, we hate you. That's all it is.
And the white people are like,
Gosh, this chap is so funny.
I know. Well, it's like Colbert and all the late shows now too. They just come out in the monologues, and it's literally just like lazy talk, leftist talking points, bashing on conservatives, bashing on traditional views, bashing on traditional morality, pushing CRT and all this type of stuff. And then people are just, they find people who are eager to reinforce that ideology, and then they just sit there and clap and make fun of those stupid conservatives in flyover country. And it's like they're excluding 50% of the country, but somehow that doesn't bother them.
You know that guy Trump, right? He's orange.
Like, did you ever? I watched like Jay Leno growing up and stuff, and like,
oh my gosh,
they actually tried to be
SNL
funny.
SNL had this like
comedy. Yeah,
they had this golden era. You had Dave Chappelle, you had Norm Macdonald. It's just like you had all these people who were great, and maybe they had offensive jokes, what we would call it now, but it was back when comedy was great. And now comedy is just like either leftist ideology, something super super sexual, or that's it. That's your two options. That's it. That's what's funny.
I know. It's not funny.
Make comedy funny
again.
That's
what's funny.
We're funny on this show.
Thanks, Will.
Me and Taylor.
One of us is funny looking.
Oh. All right. Maybe it is just me.
Amala got that eventually. Wow.
Good job.
Thank you. Thank you. I get the jokes eventually. Anyways, guys, that's our show for today. We went over the crazy...
Wait, are we going to play the alphabet game?
Oh, are we?
I don't know. Do we have time?
We got some time.
Are we going to play one round?
Okay, one round of the alphabet game, or maybe a couple if we have time here. Okay, guys, here's the rules of the game. We start off with letter A. We are given a category. We'll start with Taylor. It'll go to Will, then to me, I'm assuming. And we try to name something that's in that category that starts with that letter. Very simple.
Mm-hmm. Wait, do we want to have Scott and Tyler play?
Do you guys want to play? Okay.
Sure.
Scott and Tyler are going to play.
The bros over here. All right.
And you guys can play in the comments down below. If we get stuck on an answer, just go ahead and put one down.
Let's see. All right. Okay. Who's Alex Trebek? What's the category?
Okay. I came up with this category earlier. Yeah. Let's do the one that I came up with earlier. Okay. So A to Z, ways that you can be oppressed in America.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
I start?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Being asexual.
Okay.
Bisexual.
Colored person. You can't say that, can you? Colored person.
Tyler, you're up.
D?
Yeah, a way that you can be oppressed. It starts with
Hurry.
D.
I don't know.
Do we have a sound for that?
Tyler's out of the game.
We have to have a sound for that.
Oh. No, that's the scary one.
Nope. No.
I can't hear those.
I can just laugh at you. I don't know. We'll get there eventually. Scott, he had extra time to think.
D.
D.
Whoa, well, that was. I got nothing right now.
Okay.
Losers.
Nothing.
D. I have one. Come on, guys.
Disproportionate policing.
Oh, good. Nice.
E.
I have one.
Eat too much.
Eat too much?
That's not a way to be oppressed.
If you eat too much, you get oppressed.
I'm gonna say my E was gonna be environmental racism, but my F was gonna be fat phobia. So
okay,
well,
same one.
G.
These are so hard.
What G? Come on,
that's
now.
The easiest
on.
One.
That's the easiest one. Scott,
Will, and Taylor are
okay.
Based
gay.
not really,
right,
for the record.
H. 0.5% black.
Okay, fair wow. enough, fair enough.
I would be indigenous.
Oh.
Jehovah Witness.
They're not oppressed.
That is not an answer.
All right, fine. Jewish.
Django.
Oh, that starts with a D anyways. K. Killed by police.
That's not funny.
L.
Come on.
So bad at this
These game. Are the easiest ones.
I am not a
Should I just go lesbian?
Yes.
Easy.
M.
Mormon. Come on.
Mormons aren't oppressed.
Would
be like, middle American.
Oh my! You guys are horrible at this game.
Middle class is oppressed in our country. There we go.
There we go. Shout out to Ryan Criswell for his super chat, and then another one to David Ryan. He said, "Thank goodness these privileged women are helping by condescending to the poor and capable minorities who can't use computers."
Sure.
You're very right.
Mustache. Will's mustache is oppressing me.
Mustache is a good one.
What are you on? What letter?
And don't say it, Will. Stop. Don't say it.
Stop. Not good looking.
Oh, God. Okay.
Oh, not skinny.
Overweight.
Good.
Pansexual.
Oh, nice. Wow. He got ready.
Queer.
You're nice.
What? Why are you laughing so much? I was trying to keep up with the letters. I'm like, what comes after Q?
R.
Robotic.
Oh, that's good.
What? How is that a way to be oppressed?
I don't know.
No, can you guys give actual answers?
Sexual orientation.
Okay. Transgender.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's not even hard, though. You guys got the easy ones. Give me an R one right now.
Give you an R one? Let me see.
Okay. Too late.
You
Tyler,
gave me
you just proved my point.
Can I just say being straight? For S?
You're on you.
You're on you. Yeah.
Oh, I tell him
she did transgender, and now you're on you.
You
are gay.
I got one.
I don't know if I have anything for you. Do you have anything for you?
No, I had something for V.
I have one for you.
I have one for you.
Right, okay.
Well, you could do like underprivileged community liver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Underpaid.
Unhoused.
Mm-hmm. Unhoused. No one's ever said that. V.
Mm-hmm.
Vivacious.
That's a good thing.
Voluptuous.
Oh my gosh.
No.
I was going to say Velociraptor. Isn't that one of the genders now?
That could be one of the genders.
Oh, well done.
Victim of white supremacy.
Oh, victimhood. That's a
come
good
on.
One.
Come on. W?
Tyler?
Mine W now? I thought it was just up.
Tyler, you're supposed to be fast.
I was going to say for your weight.
Yeah.
Okay.
Weight.
X.
X.
I got it.
Pass.
Xylophiliac. Someone
what?
Who
what?
Someone who loves xylophones and that's their gender identity.
Say xenophobe?
Yeah, xenophobic.
Xenophobia is oppressive, but that you're not oppressed if you're an oppressor.
Xenophobia. Xenophobia would oppress you as a way to be oppressed.
Yeah, that's true.
LGBTQIA is. I'm trying to think if Y was one of the letters.
Why?
We need some background music to this.
We really do.
Why? What is a why? Why are you oppressed?
Y chromosome.
Yellow.
Being.
Wow. And Z?
Xenophobia.
I can't think of anything that starts with Z other than like zealot or like.
Yeah, religious zealotry oppresses mm-hmm. people.
Yeah.
There you go.
There you go.
All right.
Wow.
We did it, guys.
We won.
All right, let's do another one.
It's already 3:30. You want to do another one?
Double or nothing.
One more.
Double or nothing? Okay,
right,
what's the
bonus
category?
Time because we got buffered out for a while. All right, so.
Tyler, you have to be fast, okay?
Yeah, I'm doing a lot over here, okay?
Okay, what's the category?
Category.
If you guys want to put one in the chat, you can do that too. Give us a category.
Yeah, what category should we do?
Hopefully a political category.
Should have thought this out.
We're very prepared for our segments.
Category. We did presidents. We did ways that you can be oppressed.
You guys missed presidents. That was before the show.
Yes, that was before.
It was so easy before.
Yeah.
I mean, we could do something like animals, but that's so boring. Food? Vegetables? Fruits and vegetables?
Sure.
Or famous politicians?
Famous politicians. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Throughout history and now. All right.
Who's starting? I'll start.
Okay.
I'll start. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez for A.
Alexandria.
B. You're B, Tyler.
Should I say Lyndon B. Johnson?
Yes.
No, you can't. Middle what? Name does that's not count.
Not if all politicians are open.
Yeah, all politicians.
Fine, Bill de Blasio.
Okay, go.
Wow.
That's two B's.
C.
President Carter.
Okay.
That starts with a P. Donald Trump.
Eisenhower.
Ooh. F. Does, oh wait, okay. Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Gerald Ford. Mm-hmm.
This is Franklin too easy because we just did presidents.
I know.
Also, she did F. What did you? Oh, you're G. Gerald. Oh, okay.
That starts with a J.
Howard Taft.
Uh-huh. Howard. H I.
Uh huh.
Ike. I got I when we did the presidents and I said Ike, so there we go.
J. Mm-hmm. George Washington.
Jorge Washington.
J. Jimmy Carter.
Okay. K. Kamala Harris. Oh my gosh, how did I not think about that?
L. It's Kamala. Lyndon B. Johnson.
Oh, sorry.
Lyndon B. Johnson.
M.
I'm blanking on M.
We should do sitting politicians, is what we should have done.
Mm-hmm. Mitt Romney.
There we okay.
N. Ralph Nader.
Ooh.
Oprah.
Oprah.
That's not a politician. She doesn't practically run for anything. A politician. I wish you could just. I wish there were a president whose name started
Otto
with O.
Otto von Bismarck.
Okay.
Obama.
Yeah.
Obama.
Menno P. P. This is really difficult. I can't think of one with
it's
P.
Super easy.
Yeah.
It's really easy.
Pinochet.
Polk.
Oh well, yeah. I was trying to think of somebody who's sitting with P, but. Mm.
John Quincy Adams.
Nice.
Q.
Ronald Reagan.
R. Double points.
S. Sylvester Stallone.
Double points.
Harry S. Truman.
Are you serious? Come on.
You're saying Oprah.
Yeah, whatever. It's closer than you. That's my answer.
That counts?
Final answer.
Thomas
Regis.
Jefferson.
Ulysses S. Grant.
What am I on now?
V.
V.
Vernon Jones.
He didn't
Winston Churchill.
Nice.
WX. I got X.
Yeah.
Ibram X. Kendi.
He's not a politician.
X. I don't know an X politician.
I don't know Y.
I don't know a Z politician.
Your president.
Wow. And Z, I have nothing. Guys, this was a failed
Zachary
round.
Taylor.
Zachary Taylor.
Zachary Taylor. There we go.
Easy.
Okay, guys. Thank you so much for watching the show.
We really need music next time.
We really need music next
and
time.
And pick
we do
our categories ahead of time. So
yes, and pick our categories ahead of time.
We also need internet that works.
We need people very to be true. Good at this game.
Yeah.
I was pretty good. Was just staring at me. He wasn't saying anything. Thank you guys so much for watching the show. Please like, subscribe, click the notification bell to be notified every single day when we go live at 2:30 PST, 5:30 Eastern. You guys can listen to our show now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. Please go and leave us a 5-star review as well. It really helps support the show and hopefully gets a bunch of other people listening. If you guys are a student, young professional under the age of 35, and you want to meet like-minded conservatives in a digital space, you can join Prager Force by going to PragerForce.com. Is there anything that I missed here?
No, you did it quite superbly. But let's be honest. A lot of you guys, you're worried about what's happening in our country, especially if you live here in Los Angeles like us with PragerU. And there is a rally this Saturday that I'm going to be speaking at. It's a big deal because a lot of things are happening in Los Angeles that I can't really get into because of bipartisan stuff and 501c3 stuff, but there is a pro-freedom march, anti-mandate march this Saturday happening at LA City Council at 2 p.m. I'm going to be speaking. Amala will hopefully be there, maybe Taylor and some other people if you want to come meet us, and that's going to be at 2 p.m. at LA City Council this Saturday. I hope to see all of you guys there.
No psychos, just people who like us, please.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you can, the psychos, go find Taylor.
Someone said Xi Jinping for an ex politician. Genius.
Wow.
Genius.
Well done. Genius.
Anyways, guys, thank you so much for watching. Please leave a like and hit the notification bell.
Bye.